the previous program was the Gary Noel Show. Apologize for the abruptness of the program's end. There was some technical difficulties on that, so we apologize for that. But in the meantime, it is now 1 p.m. Stay tuned for The Positive Mind coming up.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
Ben Starr, Kevin O'Donohue here with The Positive Mind.
Kevin O'Donohue, Ben Starr here with The Positive Mind.
No, you are not hearing an echo. We are here. It is a new year.
Yeah, let's be playful this year.
And we want to be playful. We want to bring a new outlook, new attitude, new mentality.
New awareness, new consciousness, new everything. Everything new this year. Happy New Year to everybody in the listening area and beyond. Happy New Year, Ben.
Happy New Year, Kevin. It's good to be here. We were talking a little bit before the show about, I don't know, it kind of impacted me a lot, Kevin. You were talking about the transition to a new year, you know, people's concepts of the new year, people's concepts of resolutions, how it all plays in,
yeah.
The existential kind of dread that comes along with a new year.
Yeah, you came up with a good story. Why don't we talk a little bit about that before we go into today's theme? And it is. It is new. It's a new year. And, you know, you hear everybody talking about the new things I want to do for myself. The
sure.
new resolutions.
Right.
You know, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But you had something really interesting.
Yeah, I think part of the stress that comes with the new year is that it just kind of reminds us of our mortality, about the passage of time, right? The inevitability of the passage of time. And no one can do anything about it. It's just time marches on. With or without us. And at the end of every year, it's like, you know, there's a new number on the end of the year. And I remember being an elementary school kid, you'd have to write your date on the assignment every day.
Yeah.
And it would take me weeks or even months, you know, into the new year to stop writing the old year down.
Yes.
Because I think there's even this kind of innate resistance towards the movement of time.
Did you even feel that when you were young?
Like, yeah,
I'm resisting. Absolutely. I'm resisting getting older.
Well, not so much the idea of getting older, but just the awareness that, you know, time was almost ruthless and it's marched through our lives, and no matter what we do, we can't keep things the same, right?
Right.
We can't. Change is inevitable.
Yeah.
So there's nothing that's permanent, really.
And I
think that's scary.
Yeah, I love that phrase. Time is ruthless. I never heard that before. That's a really, really good phrase. Time is ruthless.
Now, on the flip side,
and I'm wondering, like, if people use resolutions as a way to negate that idea. Like, when you have a resolution, you have this idea, I can improve myself.
Right.
I can improve time. I can improve the passage of this year's time by doing X, Y, and Z and getting better at X, Y, and Z and really, you know, taking my life in hand and really focusing and really being a good guy. And that'll take the edge off of another year passing and me being subject to this ruthless bit of time.
Yeah, I mean, look, as I got older, Kevin, I also started reading more, learning more, and found that probably one of the most comforting pieces of wisdom that I was able to come across in that time was the idea that, you know, nothing is permanent. And so it's a double-edged sword, right? It's cause for exaltation and cause for despair, right?
Yeah.
So that, like, nothing ever lasts. So
right.
Not our good luck, not our bad luck, you know, not illness or health. Everything eventually fades. And I think that's part of what New Year's does for people. It kind of reminds them of that. And it's stressful. You know, it's scary.
I could see, you know, I could see how it really, really could be if you stand in the vortex of that way, like another year is happening,
yeah,
and I'm in the middle of this, and it's all pretty random.
Because in a sense, when you think about it, Kevin, in New Year's, almost like everyone is having a birthday party on the same night.
Yeah.
Right? We all, because on our birthday, we celebrate the passage of another year. But on New Year's, we're all celebrating together.
Mm.
And I think that there's, you know, it's absolutely cause for celebration. But for many people, there's this sort of existential angst associated with it.
Right. We want to hear from those people. I'd love to hear. That's a great conversation. You know, I would really love to hear how you combat the ruthlessness of time. My contention, my theory is that people use resolutions as a way to sort of avoid that awareness that time is ruthless and that I'm getting older. And they want to make it so I can be in control of certain things. So let me focus on, losing 20 pounds. Or let me focus on dropping my cigarette habit. Or let me focus on being a better parent. Well, let me focus on making more money. So, you know, that's a great phrase. Ben Starr here says it, the ruthlessness of time's passage. It really is a catchy phrase. So how about you? We want to know and we want to hear from you because we wanted to talk about resolutions and actually about intentions and taking this year, this whole new year in hand with a positive mind where you can hear an idea, concept, and guests to try and lead a more positively minded life, to take a full year in hand and state your intention for it. What's your intention? Forget resolution, because resolutions, Ben, all the research shows, resolutions...
they fail.
Resolutions do not work.
We've talked about that before. Resolutions overwhelmingly fail.
Overwhelmingly.
And for a very good reason... that you explained to me in a way that I'd never heard explained. You explained to me before the show.
Oh, yes. What did I say? Resolutions are about resolving problems. That part of it, or which part of it?
The part where you said that if I go through with my resolution, I'll be a different person. And maybe deep down, I don't want to be a different
person.
Well,
that's the other part of it.
Right?
That we need to talk about. Because the research is showing that people don't really want to change anyway. You know, so I like your idea about the ruthlessness of time and resolutions as a way to sort of camouflage that awareness. But the other is that people really don't want to change, and that's okay. I mean, you know, if you change your cigarette habit, are you going to be a different person?
I'd say yes.
You know, if you get out of debt, are you going to be a different person?
Probably.
You know?
Absolutely. If you lose 20 pounds, you're going to be a different person.
Yeah.
And then it comes down to, well, do I want to be a different person?
Yeah.
I may rationally understand the benefits and the attractiveness of going through with said resolution, but am I ready for what that is going to do to my identity, for how I view myself, for how others view me, how the world relates to me?
Sure.
Maybe not.
Yeah. And certainly, you know, people who lose 100 pounds or 150 pounds or even now this TV show lose 300 pounds. I mean, you can see that the human mind, the human personality, human beings are changeable. We can change. People become different than they were when they focus on something.
Right,
and
but it's not
totally
an, it's not an
transform
aesthetic,
themselves.
It's not an aesthetic.
No, no,
it's
no.
It's a fundamental,
exactly.
Fundamental personality difference that happens.
Yes. And they show this with addiction, too. You know, people go into rehab. And a successful rehab visit, and then 6 months later, if they get to really mourn all the things that addiction causes and leads to and comes from actually not mourning losses, that these people, you can see their real selves coming through, you know, the authentic self coming through. So people are changeable. You know, we are changeable. We can change. But the question becomes is, do you want to change, and do you think the resolution you have for the new year, if you have one, is going to change you?
And does it require a number on the calendar to change for you to change, right?
Yeah.
Like, why is it that we collectively kind of focus on New Year's as the time to make the change?
Yeah.
When really, as an individual, if anything, I should look to my birthday and say, I'm another year older. I'm going to change for my birthday.
Ron, that's a good question, right? Well, what is the strength? It must be the strength in numbers. You know, when you do it on your birthday, it's like I'm doing this alone and in quiet and private. Nobody knows about it. When I'm doing it with a whole bunch of other people, you know, I have support. And so that reinforces my conviction that, yes, okay, now that everybody's around and I'm telling people what my resolution is, now I'll really do it.
What's the hardest change you've ever seen someone make?
Gosh, I've seen so many people change. Addiction?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And actually, suicidal thinking.
You've seen people successfully eliminate that.
Yes, or triumph over it, or manage it. You know, it's like, you know, this movie, A Beautiful Mind, was on over the weekend. And John Nash, the mathematician, he triumphs over his schizophrenia, his paranoia, and his delusions by acknowledging, okay, they're there, but they're not going to rule me anymore. And the similar idea with suicidal ideation, a lot of people, it doesn't go away. A lot of people, it does go away. But some people who don't go away, they triumph over it. They manage it. They see it and say, okay, that's just a thought. It's not going to influence me. And so I've seen big, big, big changes in people from that. And then, of course, people who have triumphed over substance abuse, you know, because the dramatic change, what drugs and substance abuse can do to people, is so severe and so obvious and so dramatic that when they give themselves time to recover and process all the things, the psychological things and spiritual things that have caused that, then you see this new person emerge. And the contrast is just remarkable. How about you?
Also substance abuse. I've seen people overcome addiction, and that's very powerful, very profound change.
Yeah.
I've also seen people who turn their life around in terms of their physical health, in terms of diet and exercise.
Right.
And that was also a really stark change, a really amazing process to watch.
You saw a personality change when that happened?
Yeah.
Explain
that
a little bit, because I think I know what you mean. You know, if you take a kid who's really 110 pounds and he starts drinking like milkshakes all day and lifting weights and all sorts of things, you could see a personality change coming.
Well, I think it comes down to decisions. So you think about the decisions that lead an individual down the road of addiction and substance abuse.
Yeah.
Right? And you think about the mentality behind the decisions. You think about the sense of self-worth behind the decisions, the relationship to the outside world, the relationship to family. All of these are factors in the decisions that lead someone down that road to a substance abuse or addiction.
Yeah, sure.
And even to stay there, because I think every day of our life is a decision on how we want to live, what we want to do. You know, I don't believe that, I mean, look, this may be controversial, but I don't think addiction is some sort of prison that forces people to stay there, because I've seen people come out of it, you know?
Yeah.
And I've fought it on my own self. I don't think that it's necessarily,
it's a life sentence.
A life sentence whatsoever.
Sure.
Yeah. And so I think the difference is decisions, Kevin, because then the person who gets their life back on track, who gets away from drugs and alcohol, look at the decisions that lead to that as well. They're affirming something.
Right. Right.
And the same with, you know, leading a healthier lifestyle, getting in shape, getting off of, you know, trans fats and sugars. You know, that's a conscious decision.
Right. And I'm curious about the actual personality change that you see once even adjusting like your diet can lead to a personality change. It could, I guess, you know, but you're jumping us, Ben, because I did want to talk about decision making and hijacking decision making, you know, in the neuroscience. It shows that, yes, but addicts, substance abuse people, their decision-making abilities is hijacked, and that's been proven and shown on MRIs. But, yes, so we first have to cure that before we can envision a sort of new life. But I'm curious about these people who just changed their diet and you see an actual personality change.
Yeah, I think you see an increase in temperance. I think you see an increase in conscientiousness. Mm. And I think you see an increase in accountability above all else.
Mm.
The person who's
to themselves.
Yeah, the person who's willing to hold themselves accountable, I think in general, is going to be much more likely to succeed in whatever they're doing than the person who doesn't hold themselves accountable.
Yeah.
And I think that it really begins and ends with personal accountability.
Yeah.
You know, I can lie to everyone else in the world, but you can't lie to yourself.
Hmm.
You know, I can, like that phrase, fake it till you make it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
you can fake it with everyone, but you know when you're faking it, and you know when you're not being true to yourself, when you're not giving it your all.
How about friends who have reached out and gotten help? Ben, I mean, because we're talking about a big, big thing here. A lot of people suffer with substance abuse, especially this time of year. I mean, how about people, you know, because I do believe that people need to reach out. I think that you're not aware of your ability to make your own decisions when the substance has taken over, when the addiction has taken over. In the abstract, we can all say, yes, a person never loses their right to choose or their ability to choose the next best thing. But the truth is, that's not the case. Armand would say that's a get-nip. Good in theory, not in practice. You know, people need help when their decision-making is compromised. And again, I'm going to say that this ties into what we're going to be talking about a little bit more in terms of resolutions, because resolutions are really decisions. And resolutions are decisions that have to be remade a week from now, 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now. And, you know, they show by 4 weeks' time, less than 20% are following their original decision.
Yeah, it's like 16, 1 in 6.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, in the case of substance abuse and addiction, you know, I think the ability to get your decision-making back on track does require more than just saying, well, I'm the one in charge.
Well, it certainly requires that initial sort of detox phase, right?
Yeah.
But I think you can relate that to any behavior that you want to change, you know, whether it's compulsive eating or infidelity or whatever the case may be.
A withdrawal.
Yeah, you need that initial period of not doing it.
That's a good question. How long do you think you, the listener out there, need to detox from 2017? Or in your case, you know, Ben, when you were saying about writing on a piece of paper the date that it takes you maybe up 2 months to actually write down 2018.
Yeah, the way.
Although, frankly, I have to put in my own story. I was writing a check today, and I wrote 2018 for the first time. It's been that I've ever actually in this early January got the right without even thinking.
Well, I was setting up our computer here to record today's show, and we write the files
with
a date format, and I wrote 2017.
Yeah.
So it's going to take me a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Than you.
Yeah. So that's a question. How long do you need out there to detox from 2017? Because if you're going to get to your best self and really activate these resolutions that you're trying to pick, maybe you need a little time of withdrawal. Maybe you've already had it. I was able to snap my fingers and say goodbye to 2017. I know a lot of people were glad to say 2017 can go. I'm welcoming 2018. I don't need to withdraw anymore from 2017. I've withdrawn. I closed up that bank account. I'm starting a new one, 2018. You know, so maybe no surprise that writing 2018 was very easy for me. I also think that, you know, it's an even number, you know, so it's somehow it's easier to write.
Well, what do you have against odd numbers, Kevin? I was born in an odd year.
Yeah, 1359. You know,
seven.
Seven is the only one with two syllables. 1, 3, 5. Maybe it was that. It was hard to write seven. I don't know. But I like writing 2018. How about you? So, Ben, let's get to what we want people to do. We do want them to have a piece of paper and a pen. And tell us, write down your three resolutions for this year.
Give people just a moment to get their pen and paper. We'll wait.
Okay.
I'll give you a few seconds, you know, to shuffle around.
Right. Because ultimately it's about getting free, right? We talked about being free. And everything is about trying to get free, trying to get more and more free. And the idea is that my resolution, when I lose 20 pounds, I'll be more free. Or when I stop smoking, I'll be free. You know, I'll be more free. You know, if freedom is a full glass of water, then a half glass of water is I'm half free. And so three quarters full is I'm three quarters free. So let's, you know, you could picture it that way. So the belief is that resolutions are going to get me more free.
So whether or not you made resolutions for this year,
right?
We want to have you write down three things that you'd like to change, three things you'd like to do differently, or three behaviors you'd like to either incorporate or eliminate from your life.
Yeah.
Just three.
And we'll take them fast, too. We'd like to get callers at 212-757-5555.
But there's a twist.
Go ahead. Don't. We're not going to give away the secret, are we?
Well, I thought we were going to.
No. Let's get them to write them first, and then we'll do our.
Okay.
212-757-5555. Share with the world. Share with New York City. Share with everybody in the listening area what you want to do, what your resolutions are to get more free this year. Right? You're trying to get more free. What's holding you back? What behaviors are holding me back from being more free that I need to let go of? So that's one way of looking at a resolution. I'm resolved to get more free. I'm resolved to get rid of these things or to add these things. I want to add these things because I think this is what's going to make me happier. This is what's going to make me free. So if you've done that, great. You can reach us 212-757-5555. And then the other thing that we want you to write down is this. And this is what we really want to talk about. Put it in quotation marks because this is going to help you through the year. And if you revisit this one simple sentence I'm going to tell you, it's going to help you through the year get a sense of what being free is like. And it goes like this, quote, out beyond ideas of right doing and wrong doing, there is a field. I'll meet you there. Close quotes. And that's by Rumi. Rumi, way back. So that's lasted 8 centuries, Ben.
It's great.
Out beyond ideas of right doing and wrong doing, there is a field. I'll meet you there. What does that mean to you?
I guess it's just about shedding judgment, expectation, you know, shedding pre-existing belief systems and putting them to the side and saying, you know, I'm just going to interact with you from a human place,
yeah,
without the, you know, predispositions and
without judgment.
Yeah. Without
prejudice,
without all the extra stuff that weighs us back, holds us down.
How do you, when you picture that field, do you get a feeling?
Yeah, I do, Kevin. I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Feels good.
Yeah.
Feels comfortable.
Yeah. Is it the idea that you're with another person?
It's the idea of
that's
being
comforting?
Of simply being accepted for just being, for being a human being.
So being accepted is part of what makes it feel good. I don't have to have the right answer.
Right.
And neither does the person I'm with. You know, there's no need to be right here. I'm in a field with a person where I'm totally accepted. And there's no conversation about what should be done or shouldn't be done. How free am I? You know, who should we vote for, or, you know, how good is the economy, or none of that, right, Ben? Do you get a place? Do you get a chance for that?
Yeah, but only with certain individuals that have known me for a really long time. So, you know, those people, the closest friends and family members, right? I feel I can exist with them beyond a place of judgment or, you know, any kind of pre-existing expectations. Right.
You're a lucky man.
Without pretension, any of that.
Yeah, I think you're a lucky guy. I don't think a lot of people have that. But anyway.
Let's take a quick call. We have Jonathan on the line. Hi, Jonathan.
Hey, how you doing, my friend? This is Jonathan from the Bronx.
Hey, Jonathan. Happy New Year.
Hey, man. Healthy New Year to you and your family.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
What are your ways to get free this year?
I want to, number one, I want to realize economic stability, which leads to financial independence, number one.
Got it.
I've been surviving financially for far too long, and I want to really, really make radical, immediate, as well as long-term changes in my financial behavior.
So I'm going to say, Jonathan, you want to thrive this year.
Absolutely, absolutely.
You want to thrive. What's your second one?
My second one is to lose between 10 and 15 pounds, no less than 10.
Okay.
Preferably 15, realistically. That would be great. And
do you want less of Jonathan in the world or more of Jonathan in the world?
I want more of Jonathan in the world in that the lighter my being is, as in shedding myself of toxic energies and behaviors and thought processes, then the freer I am to be more sacrificial and selfless.
Jonathan, you are the kind of guy we like calling. You are very articulate. Give me number three.
Number three, I want to finish the business at hand in order to successfully submit my PhD application for African history.
Beautiful. So what do you mean by business at hand? You mean the application process?
Right. I have been researching different programs, getting feedback, trying to make decisions upon which programs which would be most suitable for me, and, you know, zoning down to programs that I hopefully will not have to relocate in order to achieve the goal.
Got it.
And so that's where I'm at right now, waiting for feedback to discern where I'm going to submit my package.
I love
it. So that I can get started on that.
We're going to take, Jonathan, one last thing. Did you write down my quote, the quote that I sent?
You know what? I was too busy.
You're busy.
Making sure that my radio was off because I'm actually in the car. So I'd appreciate it if you would say that again now that I'm able to write it down.
Here it is. Out beyond ideas.
Out beyond ideas.
Of right doing and wrong doing.
Of right doing and wrong doing.
There is a field.
There is a field.
I'll meet you there.
I will meet you there. Yes, sir.
Now, your guy is about to get his PhD or get into a program, so you know probably a lot about right doing and wrong doing. So I want you to listen to the second half of the show, and you can give us a call afterwards and let us know what you think. Thanks, Jonathan.
Thank you so much. Always a pleasure. Peace and blessings to you.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year.
Appreciate it. 212-757-5555. That's the number to call. You're listening to The Positive Mind here on 99.5 FM WBAI. We are doing a little bit of an exercise with all of you today, and we love it when we can get you involved and participating in the show. This is not as straightforward as you think it is, because in the second half of the program, we're going to reveal that there's a bit of a twist.
There's a twist, and it's all about getting free, Ben.
You're going to be interested to hear what the twist may be.
Sure.
But the number to call again, 212-757-5555.
So, you know those people that are always talking about self-improvement, Ben? You know, people are always like, oh, I got to do this. I want to do this. I'm going to go buy this. I'm going to go get that. I'm going to do this. Oh, yeah, there's going to be a better version of me if I just keep going. I keep doing this, and this. You know those people?
Mm-hmm.
See, I think this phrase, out beyond ideas of right doing and wrong doing, there's a field, I'll meet you there. You know, that – out beyond talking of self-improvement, there's a field. I'll meet you there. So I think like this phrase, right doing, wrong doing, can be, you know, we can remove that and put other things in there. The point is to get to that field, a field where you're with another person and you feel totally accepted, totally relaxed, totally free, and not compulsively talking your talk, not talking the game that you talk in order to keep people at a distance or even keep yourself at a distance from yourself. You know, we're trying to get you to be relaxed, because being relaxed is really the best place to make your decisions from, the best place to make your resolutions from.
That's an excellent point.
So out beyond ideas of self-improvement, there is a field.
We're going to take a short musical
I'll
break.
I'll meet you there. 212-757-5555.
We'll be back right after this with your phone calls. Wes Montgomery here on The Positive Mind, Move In Wes, Part 2. I don't know about you, Kevin. That is just...
You were moving.
when I hear that song, when I hear anything, really, Wes Montgomery in general, whoa.
Is that him too?
Yeah. And I hear Wes Montgomery, I just...
Right.
Just does something to me, man.
Yeah. How about more music in your life?
Yeah.
What do you want more of this year? I'd like a little more music in my life.
Let's get back to the phones. We're taking callers today at 212-757-5555. We have G on the line. How are you there?
Hi, you doing?
Hey,
good.
G.
Hey, good show.
What's,
nice topic.
What's no?
I don't want to put a damp on things, but for me, this year I decided there's no resolution this year. I'm just going to be available and be present, because when I made those last year, and some people in my life too, when they had resolutions last year, sometimes it limited me. Yeah. And it caused me to have judgment when certain things didn't go this way or that way. So I'm feeling this year, since this year has been such a roller coaster ride,
yeah.
And In the past, I wanted, you know, try to, the resolution, I was going to control that thing, stayed here and stayed there. Mm. So I found out sometime with the resolution, it can cause you to kind of try to be in too much control, so yeah. You're out of control. So I'm just going to be available this year and watch and see how things, I know that's a cliche we hear all the time, see how they unfold. But sometimes, you know, some of the things you hear so much of, you find there's a space for them in your life. So this year, the resolution for me is like really, it was none.
I love it. Hey, you didn't put a damper on this at all. I think I know. I think you're teaching us. You know, you're doing exactly what we want because, you know, resolution can be a trap.
Yeah.
And so you lived through the trap of a resolution, didn't you?
Yeah, I learned. So like you said, I learned. And that's another part. Like this year, you guys were talking about how crazy it was.
Yeah.
With all the craziness and the roller coaster ride, like trying to be in the middle to see some balance. It was something that caused me to learn a lot of things. It was a teacher moment at the same time.
I got
it. And so it's releasing certain, sometimes it's like, it's time, the garbage is full, it's time to take it out.
That's a good way to live, G. So yeah. Listen, we'll just close with you by saying, you're taking the, you know, what do you want a little bit more of this year for yourself?
Being present and letting things unfold and looking at them.
Beautiful.
As they unfold instead of trying to control the unfoldment.
Yeah, that rates high in my book. That's right up there. That's a great right. way to live, G. Look,
thanks
for calling.
So
and what about this idea of Out Beyond Ideas? Did you write that down?
I've just told you how for me. That's how I feel. I'm just going to let things unfold, and that's how I'm just seeing right now how this year is starting for me. Like you, one of you guys said, for the first time you wrote a check, and it was 2018.
Yeah.
So what I'm feeling is like it's this feeling, a new feeling, 2018, and I'm just watching it. I'm just gonna step aside and watch me.
I love it. Keep calling us, G.
So
we love your call. Thanks so much.
We love you. Thank you.
Thanks. Be well.
Thank you so much. 212-757-5555 is the number to call.
He's learned. I mean, maybe you need resolutions as a way to learn, right? I mean, you're trying to build a better you, and this is your idea. I'm not going to put pressure on myself. I'm not forcing it. And that's kind of the idea we want with this idea of being in a field out beyond ideas of right doing and wrong doing or self-improvement, out beyond even trying to self-improve. There's a field. I'll meet you there. G sounds like a guy to hang out with. What do you think?
Yeah.
You know, he's not putting pressure on himself. He doesn't want to put the pressure on himself.
212-757-5555 is the number to call. We are taking your calls. We got a little bit of a twist for you coming up towards the end of the program. We've talked about resolutions in the past, and we've talked about how difficult it is to make them happen, how such a large percentage of resolutions, there's no follow-through,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
The fact is the vast majority of resolutions that people make are, we've seen research that within 4 weeks, 82% of people, up to 82% of people,
yeah,
have given up on them. So we want to explore why that is,
yeah,
and we still want to hear your resolutions. We're not discouraging
three resolutions.
You, okay, we're not.
Give us a call.
Yeah, we're not discouraging you from
212-757-5555. 212-757-5555. Anyway, Ben, the five best reasons or major reasons people fail at their resolutions is, they don't give themselves rewards along the way. You know, it becomes like a marathon. It becomes a marathon, you know, and that makes sense. I mean, if the only success you're going to have is black and white, either I quit smoking or I don't, and I won't be successful until 6 months from now when I can finally say I've kicked the habit, there's a problem with that. You don't have any rewards along the way. So even if resolutions generally fail for the 18% that they do work for, they found that if you give yourself a little reward along the way, now not indulging in what you're trying to avoid, but something different, that's one help. Another is if you write your resolution down, because writing it down, you write the reasons why you're doing it, because the number one reason people fail is they forget why they even chose that as a resolution. They forget. So if you write it down and you write down all the reasons, how is my life going to be better with this resolution? In my phrasing, how am I going to be more free with this resolution? Then the chances are they're better. They're better that you might succeed at your resolution.
Let's take another call. Sean is on the line. Hi, Sean. Thanks for calling in.
Positive mind.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Sean. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you guys.
So have you got any resolutions?
No, I don't think so.
Good. What do you want to comment on?
I just like the program, and it's just that's the resolution.
Yeah.
The resolution.
You listen to BAI a lot, huh?
Yeah, I tune in for like 10 years now. I've been tuning in to you guys.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
I think BAI can actually be a field, Ben. Like BAI, hanging out with the radio, just you and the radio listening to WBAI, that's a kind of way of being in a non-judgmental place.
It's like I walk with BAI. That's my best company, right?
Yeah, exactly. I can see that.
Exactly. Close companion. Now,
yeah. Yes, man.
Yeah. Well, Sean, listen, thanks for calling us. Keep calling, okay?
All right.
Be well.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
212-757-5555 is the number to call. 212-757-5555. We'd love to hear from more of you regarding, if you're sitting at home, we had you earlier in the first half of the show, take out a piece of paper and a pen.
Yeah.
And write down three resolutions or things that you'd like to change. You don't have to consider them resolutions. Things you want to do more of or do less of.
Yeah.
However you want to look at it. And just put them down on paper.
Yeah.
Because we're going to give you, whether or not you call in with it, you know, as long as you have it on the paper, we're going to kind of give you the twist at the end here.
Yeah.
Which is going to, it's going to change your
change.
Change your perception.
To some changes, right? You know, the number one resolution people have is to lose weight.
Is that number
one?
That's most
number
popular.
One. Number two is to exercise.
Hmm.
You know, number three is to get out of debt, and number four is to quit smoking.
Yeah, I would have thought quitting smoking and quitting drinking would be high up there.
Yeah, that's pretty high. I mean, even so, less and less people are smoking, but you know, and I think people know how hard that one is. So maybe they don't have a resolution for it. But this is another idea of how to succeed at a resolution is to have a buddy. So we're trying to give the five reasons, ways that even though the odds are stacked against you to succeed at your resolution, if you have a buddy that you can share your success with or your struggle with, you know, and have milestones along the way, they find that increases your chances of sticking to the resolution. And I think that's why, as we said at the beginning, more people make resolutions now than they do then on their birthday.
Yeah.
Because they get a chance to put it out publicly.
Well, I think, Kevin, it really comes down, everything comes down to accountability, whatever you're trying to do in life, right? When we can hold ourselves accountable and when we have people in our life that care enough to hold us accountable.
Mm.
That's so critical.
But there's an art to holding somebody accountable, right, Ben? I mean, when somebody's struggling, you don't want to say, oh, but you said on January 1st that you were going to quit smoking,
right,
and now,
right.
You know. You have to be where
to
they
be
are.
In a loving and supportive way.
Yeah, but you have to be where they are. You have to have empathy. I mean, you have to be able to sense, okay, they're struggling today with this resolution. I can sense their struggle, and I'm not going to be so hard with them. I will be supportive. I will not encourage the behavior they're trying to change, but I will not be tough on them. I will not be hard. So that's why I think there's an art to being a buddy and supporting somebody who's trying to make some change in their life. 212-757-5555. Maybe a lot of people aren't making resolutions. Maybe our audience, Ben, has learned, because we've done a show on this before on resolutions. And we like to tell it the way it is. And the way it is that they normally don't work. So it's a good thing that if you don't have resolutions for yourself, then that's not a bad thing. That's good. Like Jeeve said, she doesn't have any resolutions for herself. So, if you learned anything by having resolutions, maybe not making resolutions the following year is the way to go. But we want to hear, because we have a little twist here that might help you be more free and free of resolutions in general. 212-757-5555.
I got my three if you want to demonstrate on me.
Yeah, go
I'll
ahead.
I'll share my three, and then you
Ben,
can...
Ben Starr, let me write these down. Go
you
ahead.
You can reveal the twist.
Ben Starr, go.
Only if you really want to.
I really want to.
Okay.
I yeah. Go ahead.
So my first one is no more screen time at night.
Okay.
So, you know, no cell phone, computer, TV.
Really?
Late at a certain point, like 9 or 10 o'clock.
No, because you're bringing up the important thing here. You have to be specific if you want to reach or succeed at a resolution. That's the fifth thing you need to do is be specific. So after, let's pick a time.
Say 9 p.m.
9 p.m. Nobody can get Ben Starr. Or you'll pick up the phone, but you won't be on a screen.
Yep.
Okay. What's the other one?
Read a book a month.
A book a month. Okay. Huh. Okay. And the last one?
Clean my entire home every Sunday.
Every Sunday?
Yeah.
Woo! That's going to be a great example for our solution to all of this.
Because if you don't do it regularly, then it just becomes harder.
Right.
If you're doing it every Sunday, there's less work to do.
Right. All right. Every Sunday. Okay.
Yep.
Well, thank you. That's great. That'll help us at the end of the show when we can talk about what's really, who's really in charge here, Ben?
Right.
Who's really in charge? How free are you? 212-757-5555.
So what's the twist?
Let me ask you. I mean, who is the neat one in your home? Your mom or your dad?
My mom.
Your mom. How? Tell me about how she was neat.
She's extremely neat, you know?
Really?
Yeah.
Why? What would she do?
She's just the most organized person I know. She's very neat.
Wow.
Everything in its right place.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a big thing to say. The most organized person you know in the world.
Yeah. Easily.
Very well. Well, let me ask you this. Would she be happy that you're cleaning your apartment every Sunday?
Absolutely. Yeah.
If she came to your apartment and... she walked in that front door on a Sunday night or a Monday morning.
Right.
What do you think her reaction would be?
I mean, she'd be thrilled if it was nice and tidy.
I did a good job.
Yeah, exactly.
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 What's your mom's name?
I don't want to say.
Oh, come on.
Come on.
No,
come
all
on.
Right. All right. We'll call it Beatrice.
Okay.
So Beatrice walks in Ben's, her son's apartment, and sees this glowing, shiny, beautifully waxed and varnished and cleaned and vacuumed, neat apartment. And she says, I was a good mother.
Perhaps.
Yeah. I did a good job.
I think she probably would say that.
So your resolution, you would do what we put an M next to your resolutions. Because there is a theory here that we pick resolutions not because we want to do them, really, so much, but because our caretakers when we were growing up would approve.
Interesting.
They would approve.
Interesting.
So your mom, I mean, that's pretty severe, Ben, every Sunday. So if you have a football game or something to go to on a Sunday, you'll tell the guys, no, I'm sorry, I can't go. I have to clean my apartment.
Well, I mean, ideally, I think that once you get into the groove of cleaning regularly, there's less to clean because there's, you know?
Sure, sure.
Right. When you clean once a month, it's a much bigger job.
Right.
Than when you clean once a week.
You see, but I'm struck by the, and I'm going to say this about resolutions in general, because I think resolutions can come from a severe kind of parental place in us. So you said every Sunday, and you said it with like conviction, really pride almost. I mean, you were almost like, I'm going to do this
because it's the one day that's available to me, that's consistently available,
mm-hmm.
you know? Mm-hmm. Mm. It's the one day where I can say consistently, I will be home on that day.
Yeah. Yeah, so I, you know, but it's, again, every Sunday. So, I mean, it's the severity that we're talking about. And I think what often resolutions are, what else did you pick? A book a month.
Yeah.
Now, was your dad a reader?
My dad is the reader.
The dad's a reader. Yeah. So if dad came over to Ben's apartment and saw 11 books in November piled high, not 11, let's say 15, 20, 25, he would say,
can I borrow one of those?
What better compliment than that? You see, so even that, I don't doubt, Ben, that that's something you want to incorporate into your life. I'm just, I think people need to watch out for the severity of their resolutions. People say, oh, I want to, you know, achieve financial independence in a year. Well, that might be big if you've had 30 years of financial dependence.
Let's take one more quick call. We have Mark on the line. Hi, Mark.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Hey, Mark. You have any resolutions?
Yeah, so you want to say is when we make a resolution, is we going to be free, or making a resolution, we're going to be free? I don't understand.
Achieving the resolution. That's a good question. Achieving it. I think people make resolutions saying, if I do stop smoking, you know, then I'll be more free. Then I'll breathe better. I'll be more attractive to people. I'll have more money even. You know, you understand what I'm saying?
So they're searching for freedom in a resolution, or when they stop doing a thing, or when they start doing a thing?
Say that again?
Is freedom in when they make a resolution, or when they don't make a resolution?
I think it's in both. I mean, obviously, what we're talking about is, yes, the freedom, you get to make the decision on what you're resolving to do, right? You get to choose that. So there's a freedom in that. But, you know, you're not, you want to pay attention that you're choosing a resolution that's going to make you feel better, right?
Okay, so feeling better is not making a resolution, or making a resolution, because feeling better is just being.
Yeah.
Being in this moment.
Yeah.
Whether you have a resolution or you don't have a resolution, that doesn't make you free.
Yeah.
It's got to be. At the moment.
I love it. I love it, Mark. I think you're summarizing exactly where we want to get people. We want to get people to that place of just being.
Yeah, because it's just being is freedom, because I don't think freedom is in when you have a thought for external whatever, or stopping an addiction or starting an addiction. Freedom is not into that. It's just doing something, stop doing something. You just got to be. Just be, you understand?
Yeah, I do, but do you understand that some people are kind of imprisoned by their addictions?
Oh, yeah, you're right.
That's
it's like an addiction. It's like they feeling for something to stop that pain they're feeling from within.
Exactly.
So they go making a resolution or go to an addiction.
That's it. And then they get into more trouble. So how about you? What's the one thing you're going to close us out today, Mark? What's one thing you want a little bit more of in your life this year going forward?
I'm just being. I already have more. Life is what this is. This is it. I don't see. I'm not trying to get nowhere. I'm
good
trying to
you.
Be nobody.
Yeah.
This is it. This is the resolution. This is just life, you know.
Yes, absolutely.
There's no bigger resolution than waking up and listening to you guys and taking a walk in the park and looking at the trees and that's just a resolution. More and more, infinite. Yeah.
Were your parents very relaxed people?
I'm from Jamaica. You know, there's no relaxation. It's just that they got to keep surviving. But, you know, when you go around the Rastafari culture and the reggae music and you listen and, you know, Bob Marley, Marcus Garvey, you know.
And they encourage just being who you are.
Just being
who you are.
Everything else is just somebody else's idea. You just got to go within.
I love it. Mark, thanks for giving us a call. Happy New Year to you.
All right. Thanks
Mark.
Bye-bye. I mean, he's out in that field that we're talking about, Ben. I mean, yeah. I wonder if he hangs out with people.
He's already there.
Yeah, that you can just be with no judgment, no right or wrong, just somebody, somewhere, someone you can relax with and just be yourself. Because ultimately, as this idea is that resolutions often come from a severe place in you. Like it's a reaction, like, oh, I've had too much of this year and I better have less of it. And I better just really, you know, join the Marines and get this done and really fix this. And that's often like not the best thing for you. The best thing for you is to be out in that field and make your decision from there. Ben, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Kevin. Good to be back.
Good being back.
And Happy New Year to all of our listeners and callers today. We appreciate you. And we'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. Take care.